which is coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It's a very special day in Paradise, California. A man and his three kids are all safe and sound after 3 days stranded by a snowstorm up in the mountains.
Everybody seemed to be in pretty good spirits, just a little cold.
Dave White is the paramedic on the CHIPS helicopter that spotted them. He says give credit to the pilot who actually saw them.
They were jumping up and down. The little girl started crying, came up and gave me a big hug once I got out, and just an awesome time.
Had to happen then, too. That pass through the canyon was to be the last one because the next big snowstorm was coming right behind them. Matt Pierce at Butte County Search and Rescue.
The weather was a big issue yesterday. It snowed up to almost 2 feet on us. Darkness comes quick around this area. And fortunately, we've been very fortunate from all our surrounding counties and agencies supplying us with up to nearly 100 people today.
It was to be just a quick trip up into the evergreened mountains on Sunday to find a just-right Christmas tree, cut it, and go back home, and then the storm hit. Officials in Jacksonville, Florida, say at least 3 people are dead after an explosion and fire at a chemical plant there. Several other people were injured, taken to area hospitals. That fire continues to burn. People in the area describe a disaster zone, like you see in the movies. T2 Laboratories makes chemical solvents and fuel additives. Congress has approved $70 billion for the cost of U.S. operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, with no deadlines for American troop withdrawals. President Bush says the energy bill he signed today is important and will make a difference by reducing our dependence on foreign oil.
This dependence harms us economically through high and volatile prices at the gas pump. Dependence creates pollution and contributes to greenhouse gas emissions. It threatens our national security.
The new law requires a 40% improvement in average fuel mileage and a 6-fold increase in ethanol production over the next 14 years. Home heating oil prices have hit a new record, just under $3.30 a gallon. The experts blame it on worries about oil supplies since the nation's reserves dipped to a 3-year low this week. The FAA has decided an arbitrary cap on airline flights out of the New York region may keep long airport delays from developing during the upcoming holidays.
These new measures will cut delays, they will protect consumer choices, they will support New York's economy, and they will allow for new flights as we bring new capacity online.
That's Transportation Secretary Mary Peters said they didn't want to have to go with caps, but it was the best option available. Drinking green tea is no guarantee of reducing your risk of prostate cancer, but researchers at Japan's National Cancer Center say it is worth noting, certainly, that men who drank 5 or more cups of green tea a day appear to have about half the risk of developing advanced prostate cancer as men who drank 1 or none. On Wall Street today, the Dow down about 25 points. The Nasdaq, however, gained about 5. This is CBS News.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So you're down to the wire, but you still want to pull off the perfect gift. Pull over instead. I'm talking sweaters, folks. Get 50 to 60% off at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in-store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. So bundle up and save a bundle at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Microsoft, Google, and Yahoo have agreed to stop promoting gambling on the Internet. No more pop-up ads for gambling sites, for example.
This is part of a campaign by federal prosecutors in St. Louis to fight online gambling, threatening to file charges against Microsoft, Yahoo, and Google for placing ads for overseas casinos and sports betting on web pages. The three companies don't admit breaking any law, but they're giving the government millions they got for those ads, and they agree to contribute to anti-gambling gambling campaigns.
CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv is in Washington. The town of Florence, Alabama, has decided to outlaw skateboards in most of the downtown area. Young people on skateboards have been jumping all over the downtown streets, sidewalks, a veterans memorial, and dodging cars in the town's major parking lot. Town officials say there are still places for kids to ride their skateboards, just not so much where the people want to walk quietly and safely. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Holidays getting closer. It's alright, there's a gift you'll find is perfect every time. Let's give Outback tonight.
Let go of your shopping worries with Outback holiday gift cards. Give everyone on your list a taste of the bold, fresh flavors of Outback. Drop by tonight and leave your worries behind.
Let's give Outback tonight.
Get gift cards at any Outback or Outback.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I am your humble host, Mr. Collins. Just call me Peter, thanks. We got a lot to talk about today. Reverend Barry Lynn is going to join us first, and we'll talk about the separation of church and state.
Life is bigger. It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The things that I will go to, distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. Set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. Like losing my religion. Trying to keep up here. And I don't know if I.
On today's program, we're also going to talk about the writer's strike that has altered my life in a measurable way, because The Daily Show is the thing I do at the end of the day every night. And we're going to talk to one of the writers from The Daily Show, Steve Bodo, a little bit later this hour. Also on today's program, Eric Lotke. He's the research director of the Campaign for America's Future, and they've been keeping tabs. The Republicans have been widely using or threatening the filibuster. They did so for the 62nd time in this session, just in the last day or so. And, of course, the Democrats, Chris Dodd threatened a filibuster, but they're not using it very much. So we're going to talk about that tactic and the so-called nuclear option that Trent Lott almost used to destroy it just a couple of years ago. Marjorie Cohn is president of the National Lawyers Guild, a frequent contributor to this program, a professor of constitutional law in San Diego. And she's going to join us to talk about an effort that will be announced tomorrow. 1,000 lawyers are demanding accountability for George W. Bush and his underlings in the administration. And I think this is an important movement. We've seen that lawyers in Pakistan had a major impact this spring when Musharraf fired the Supreme Court justice and then again during the state of emergency. We're also going to talk with Professor Cohn about the CIA videotape destruction and the crisis that has resulted from that. That's all ahead here. You're welcome to call the program whenever you like. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's what makes it a two-way talk show. 888-573-8372. Barry Lynn joins me now. He is a lawyer and also an ordained minister. He is the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And he's also a great radio talk show host whose program Culture Shocks airs on our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. Hello, Barry.
It's nice to be back with you, Peter.
Always good to talk with you, and you never have a shortage of things to work on, do you?
No, it's pretty much every day something comes up, and then something else comes up on top of that. And in a political season, in a presidential campaign that looks as religion-soaked as this one, every day brings a new outrage. And I do mean that. Somebody who has decided to play the religion card yet again in a way that the framers of the Constitution would find frightening.
Well, we'll talk about that and the strange bedfellows it can make, because I saw a quote from Bill Donahue of the Catholic League today, and I actually agreed with him.
You're kidding me. What did he say?
He said that Mike Huckabee shouldn't play the religion card. He shouldn't be using religion in the campaign. And Donahue said that? Holy cow.
No, it's shocking. Bill Donahue's actually a guest on my program with some regularity, and I usually find it appalling, but he has like that broken watch, apparently hit that one moment in the day, two moments in the day, when he's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, first up, I want to talk about a court case that you at least appear to have prevailed on at the appeals court level, and that has to do with interchange and the efforts by Chuck Colson, who people will remember back from the Watergate era. He was one of the Nixon fellows who ended up in jail for obstruction of justice, and he found Jesus there. He was he claims he was born again while he was in federal prison, and he's been running various evangelical operations since then. And one of them settled in Texas when George W. Bush was governor there, and it is a faith-based program to try to help inmates rehabilitate themselves. What did you find fault with in terms of separation of church and state in the interchange program, Barry?
Yeah, well, when he started interchange in Texas, he decided to use private funds to conduct what was a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, Jesus-oriented, and they were very proud of that conversion program. When he moved this program or a comparable program to Iowa, he decided he couldn't just do this with private funds. He had to use state tax dollars as well from a variety of sources. This was when we began to get some calls from prison inmates and the families of prison inmates who said, number one, this prison where my loved one is, or in one case I am, said one of our clients, if you don't go through or aren't willing to go through this conversion program, you don't get the perks that the guys do who do go into this program. And so we resent the fact that, number one, they're treated better than we are, and number two, taxpayers who don't even agree with this religion are also paying for it. So we won a trial after a lengthy 2-year trial preparation, getting all these documents and finding just how outrageous the conduct was of the people at Interchange in funding and using tax dollars to fund an obviously Christian promotional program. In fact, it was so outrageous that the judge in the case, Judge Pratt, and at the trial, said that essentially this state of Iowa had set up a church in the middle of a correctional facility,
mm-hmm.
and that he found that wildly unconstitutional. The other side, of course, the Colson side, challenged, went up on appeal, and just last week lost that appeal with three judges, including Sandra Day O'Connor, formerly of the Supreme Court, sitting by designation on the panel, found that the funding of this program did violate the Constitution, and that, in fact, this arrangement, perks, special privileges for people willing to go into a religious program, just violated the First Amendment's core principles.
But the appeals court did give them a little relief. They said you don't have to repay the $1.5 million from the state of Iowa that they got to run the program?
Yeah, they said that because of a technical matter, that they only would have to repay part of the money that they had spent that they shouldn't have spent from mm-hmm. the tax coffers of the citizens of Iowa. And now what's interesting is the other side is trying to appeal to what's called an en banc, that is all the justices in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. I don't think they're going to get very far. They have the right to do that. And I frankly doubt that they'll take this case to the Supreme Court because the facts are so terrible. Let me give you an example. In the process of claiming during the trial that they only spent tax money on secular items,
right.
They presented an invoice to the judge that was stamped secular. When he read it, it was for keychains that say, Jesus loves me. So, I mean, Jesus, you know, he's been getting a bad rap by a lot of politicians lately, but this was just silly to say that this was a secular memento or a secular promotional item. Mm-hmm. Was ludicrous. The judge found it. And this, here's another thing. How would you like to be in a prison in Iowa? I've never been in one in Iowa, but I don't think I'd want to be there. But if you go to the conversion program, you get a better cell. That is, you're only double celled instead of triple celled. You get a key to your own cell at night.
Wow.
You get a Friday night movie projected on the wall of your cell block, which nobody else gets, and you get to spend more time with your family. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, and that's a pretty important one to trade away for some Bible study.
Yeah. And Barry, I have to say that the fundamentals of the interchange program, as long as it's voluntary, don't offend me. And as long as tax dollars aren't being used to support it, if people want to get together in a prison and pray or do Bible study or other religious practices to help people improve themselves and reduce their chance of recidivism, I'm not opposed to it. But I've seen Chuck Colson speak about this publicly, and he crosses the line. Because he will tell you all the wonderful things that interchange does and can do, but he will also say that it only works if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's the line that I think he crosses that does violate the constitutional separation.
Yeah, he certainly does that. Ironically, you know, we actually try to work with prison officials to allow truly voluntary visits, for example, from chaplains, including chaplains from Native American faiths and other minority faiths.
Muslims?
In this country.
Yeah, there's a big Islamic faction in American prisons.
No, absolutely. And ironically, of course, it's a lot easier to get somebody to fund a Christian program than even to allow a person from a minority faith to get in. So we're kind of fighting both ends there. The one thing about the program I think that people who've looked at the interchange program are troubled with, whether it's private or public, is that the lessons are a bit odd. I mean, they're very homophobic. They're also anti-Catholic. They support the idea that evolution is false. I mean, it's a very strange program. And it's, of course, not only strange but unconstitutional when you and I or the citizens of any state are paying for it.
Mm-hmm. I want to direct people to your website at AU.org. That's Americans United, AU.org, and Americans United for Separation of Church and State. We're going to take a break and return, talk a little more about religion in the political campaign this cycle. Barry Lynn is our guest. As we mentioned, he's the executive director of Americans United and also the host of the Culture Shocks radio program. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Join us on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626 and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking to the Reverend Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Once again, their website, au.org, for Americans United. And Barry, you're here today in part because of requests from several listeners who asked me to have you back on the program. And one wrote a letter. She listens online from Western Montana. By the way, I've been a longtime fan of Barry Lynn and his steadfast and courageous effort to maintain the separation of church and state in this country, as well as of years as committed work with the ACLU. But it was only one evening some time ago when I still had my laptop connected to the KRXA radio station that I heard his broadcast right after your show. And she says, since then I've regularly accessed and podcasted many of his shows and have often listened to his excellent program after the fact. So you got fans out there, Barry.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. I really do, and it's nice to get those notes from around the country. And, in fact, the great thing about the Internet is you and I know calls from around the world.
Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting. We have listeners in Costa Rica and Australia, Hawaii, and, well, all points around. So let's focus on the presidential race as things are heating up. We're just a couple of weeks away from the Iowa caucuses, and then it's going to go really fast from there. And much of the mud that has been slung over the past few weeks is going to be recycled into television hit pieces, these 30-second commercials. And I'm just wondering how you see this playing out, the way that Huckabee has injected his
his Christian religion and his background as a Southern Baptist minister more directly into the race than ever before, to not so subtly contrast himself with Mormon Mitt Romney, and to intentionally contrast himself with the devil worshiper Rudy Giuliani.
Well, I tell you, Mike Huckabee's latest ad, the 30-second ad that's running in Iowa and New Hampshire now, featuring him wearing a Christmas sweater with Christmas decorations, Silent Night playing in the background, and him making a reference to Jesus as the Christ, the Savior, has generated a lot of interest, particularly today, as people have seen this ad on the Internet. And the big question for the media is there really a cross floating behind Mike Huckabee, or is that just a bookcase with a crossbeam that makes it look like a cross floating behind Mike Huckabee? Frankly, doesn't really matter, because if you got Silent Night, the sweater, the decorations, and Jesus as the Christ, you've got one product. It's the Mike Huckabee and Jesus are one product, and that's exactly what he's selling, particularly in Iowa, where a lot of people forget this, but Pat Robertson came in second in the 1980s in the Republican caucus in Iowa. It's a conservative place in the Republican Party, at least. And Mike Huckabee knows exactly what he's doing if his only interest is getting those voters to the caucuses.
Well, and I'm certain he has a strategy, but there will be a point of diminishing returns where the Christian leader message doesn't play so well, and it appears New Hampshire may be the first episode of that.
Yeah, the latest poll I saw today, a national poll, shows that he is now either first or second nationally, but he's still not doing as well in New Hampshire. And what's interesting is that this idea of adding religion to the politics of the day, which we've seen crawling into American politics for a long time, but now it's on both the Republican side and even the Democratic side. I mean, let's face it, when Barack Obama starts to say to a congregation he's speaking to, help me bring in the kingdom, he's not talking about the kingdom as in Saudi Arabia. He is talking about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And his listeners understand that George Bush has used this kind of code. And the sad thing is that I see no evidence whatsoever, and it's not like we don't do polling and we don't do focus groups here at Americans United for separation of church and state. Separation of church and state is a principle most people like. I mean, really feel warmly about it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want politicians in the business of promoting religion. That's why if they choose to go to church, they go to church or synagogue or mosque or temple. And I think that this, there may be a point, I think it may come very soon, when you're absolutely right. There's just blowback from this, which de-emphasizes the Bible and the Bible quoting and the Bible thumping and the other religious attributes of this election.
Now, I'd like to be right about that, Barry, but I have not seen evangelicals show that kind of independence or critical thinking to separate themselves from pandering. And, you know, Bush continues to pander to them, and they seem to lap it up.
No, they do, and clearly Mitt Romney's speech that was supposed to be comparable to that of Jack Kennedy in 1960s certainly was not. I've seen Jack Kennedy's speech. Mitt Romney's was not Jack Kennedy's speech.
Thank you, Senator Benson.
It's good that, you know, you're old enough to know that, because some people go, I wonder what that means.
Those are people who don't know how to spell potato. Let me sneak in a quick call. Dave from Eureka. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, Reverend, two things appear to me to be happening right from the very top, and that is that the country is going, the fundamentalist Christian and criminal. They lie and cheat about everything. I'm a non-theist, and I find it most irritating.
A quick comment, Barry?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of hypocrisy. People who talk about abortion being in the Bible, it's really not there. It's not even mentioned. But there's a lot of biblical commentary on hypocrisy, and all of it is negative.
And
you're
not
supposed to be a hypocrite. You're not supposed to say everybody should act one way while you're acting precisely the opposite way yourself.
And when are the evangelicals going to celebrate the ban of the death penalty in New Jersey? Haven't heard that happen yet.
No, there are very few.
Barry Lynn, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. Barry Lynn from Americans United.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Think
for yourself.
Ricardo Valesco and his colleagues at the Instituto Agrario San Michel al Adige have charted the genetic makeup of a particular kind of grape, the one called Pinot Noir, and have found more than 2 million genetic variants or molecular markers.
It may be that wine grapes are actually much more complicated organisms than one might think by just counting up the number of genes.
You know how it is with Pinot Noir.
Oh, its flavors, they're just the most haunting and brilliant and thrilling and subtle.
That's not even a real person. That's Paul Giamatti's character, Miles, in the movie Sideways. More on the big Pinot Noir breakthrough after this.
Who said, the hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax? It was Albert Einstein. Now, if he had a hard time figuring it out, what about the rest of us mere mortals? Many of us can and do find ourselves in a jam with the IRS. Luckily for you, there's Taxmasters. The former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters will solve your IRS problems. Do you owe back taxes? Being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Has an IRS agent visited your home or place of business? If not, there's a good chance they will. The IRS will pursue you relentlessly to get you to pay up. Write this number down, 877- 202-7222. Again, 877-202-7222. The former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters are waiting for your call to help solve your IRS problems right now. So call or go to txmstr.com for more info. You do not want to represent yourself with the IRS. Taxmasters have helped many good people just like you. The IRS has stepped up its collection efforts, so now, more than ever, you need to call Taxmasters to solve your problem. 877-202-7222. Taxmasters will solve your IRS problems.
Not for nothing has Pinot Noir been called the heartbreak grape.
It's a hard grape to grow, as you know, right? It's thin-skinned, temperamental, ripens early.
Oh, Miles, how you do go on. But this is a breakthrough, says Brian Dilks.
There's an enormous opportunity to both improve upon Pinot while not touching the diversity that affects flavor and aroma, perhaps improve it for disease resistance or agronomic performance.
He's project scientist at the University of California Davis Genome Center.
Disease in grapes in general. It's a constant battle between quality and quantity, right? And who wouldn't like to be able to buy a decent bottle of Pinot for less than $45?
You can't grow Pinot Noir just anywhere, as we learned from Miles in the Sideways movie.
Pinot needs constant care and attention. You know, and in fact, it can only grow in these really specific little tucked away corners of the world.
But now with the genome charted,
the power of having the whole genome is to be able to say, here are the genes that are important for flavor and aroma. Let's not disturb that biochemistry, and let's target disease resistance specifically.
About santé, Monsieur Pinot Noir. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Grass-fed versus grain-fed. What you don't know about the meat you are eating is hurting you. U.S. livestock farming has changed drastically over the last generation, creating poisons for our land, our bodies, and the animals themselves. Join healthy, slow-food pioneer Glenn Brooks and pasture farming expert John Wood every Saturday at 10 a.m. for Food is Medicine, and find out how you can eat healthier and tastier food while helping the environment. Visits from regional chefs and recipes included right here on KRXA 540.
Man. He's got the whole studio written around his head. You can be on two.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm standing firm with the writers. Let those corporate creeps and greedsters drive you out of the business, writers. Yes, our lives have been changed, at least temporarily, by the absence of The Daily Show from Comedy Central, The Colbert Report. I mean, those are programs that I rule my life in many ways by them. And I don't miss David Letterman and Jay Leno so much, but I know there are a lot of people who are fans of those shows. And the writer's strike continues. The negotiations have been very difficult. We get some comments on this from Steve Bodo, who better be funny because he writes for The Daily Show over there at Comedy Central. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. What's it like to be off work and burdened with all the BS of the back and forth of the negotiations? You'd rather just be writing jokes, wouldn't you?
Oh, on the contrary, nothing's more glamorous than walking around in winter New York when it's snowing and sleeting with a sign on a cardboard tube between your hands. That's why you get into showbiz. You know?
You're a raison d'etre?
Now, that seems to be some sort of French.
Yes, that is a French phrase. Sorry.
Not sure I can cotton to that.
Okay. You in touch with the gang? Does Jon Stewart send you daily emails about how he misses your jokes and he wishes he could send you money, but they don't pay him that much?
I've been in touch with him a little bit, and I mean, he has been absolutely supportive from the get-go on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He more than anybody wants to get back on the air. He's been supporting the strike up until now.
Yeah.
It's been hard on all of us. We're very fortunate in that we get paid to watch the news and make fun of all the crazy and horrible stuff out there. But we really miss doing it. And the last couple of months that we've been off the air have been a particularly fertile time, I would say.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Let's get some basic facts here. Does the Writers Guild of America have a strike fund, and do you get $50 a week?
They have no strike fund of that kind. No, we're not working. We're really not getting paid.
Ouch,
people
hurts.
Bring pizza and donuts to the picket line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah. And fundamentally here, you know, you're waging a war for all creative people. And let me reveal to you, Steve, that I've been active in the performers union called AFTRA.
Sure.
And I'm very pleased that The Daily Show is a union program, at least as far as the performers, and we know the writers are covered. And that was a critical contract for my union to get. Because Comedy Central was not cooperating, and it was even worse over at BET, where they were exploiting comics, paying them, like $300 to do a half-hour show that they could run for 50 years without another dime of compensation.
I believe BET is the same corporate owner that Comedy Central does. I think they're both Viacom.
It is now. It used to be owned by that guy Johnson.
And, we've only been in the Writers Guild for... Oh, a year and a half. About that long. We had a little bit of a fight to get to join the union ourselves, going back a little ways. It was sort of a strange state of affairs where for quite a while there, we at The Daily Show were not in the Writers Guild.
Yeah.
We were winning Emmys from time to time, but we weren't in the union. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that changing, and it's been very difficult to organize cable, even though the same corporate owners run, say, CBS as Viacom. They've been able to insulate these different business entities from unions, and it's been very difficult for us as the on-air performers to get even to the bargaining table, much less to get excellent contracts. And one of the big sticking points across all categories, not just the cable programming, but in prime time on network television and also in commercials to a lesser extent, is the new media developments. And for the last 15 years, we have watched as our work has migrated from broadcast television or even movie screens onto people's computers. And the industry has this beautiful line. They say, you know, we just haven't figured out where the business is here. And we can't really negotiate a contract with you because we just don't know how all this is going to shake out. Now, that actually, you know, had a little bit of relevance in the 1990s because everybody was trying to figure out the internets. But now, as we see podcasting and downloadable music and downloadable films and other types of entertainment, even material that is created expressly for distribution on the web, the industry is still sitting on the same old excuses.
Yeah, that's what we've been hearing from them as well, that there's no money to be made, or we don't know how the money's going to be made, or can you give us some time to figure out how it's going to be made, but until then, you know, we can't really do a deal with you, or we can do one, but it'll be for, you know, literally like fractions of a penny, you know.
Right.
That's really the large part of the of why we're out on strike, because we don't believe it, and we see more and more of our work appearing online, and they're obviously selling ads against it, and downloads, and you know, Viacom, again, our corporate owner, you know, had the idea that they could sue YouTube and Google for, they have a $1 billion lawsuit on the books against YouTube because YouTube was, you know, was up until the lawsuit letting people post clips of our show and of the Colbert Report and of other Comedy Central and Viacom content. Viacom said that those infringements were worth $1 billion.
Yeah,
which is, you know, $1 billion. That's if we got everything we wanted in the contract that we're asking for now, it would be worth near $1 billion. That's the entire industry I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
So it seems like they are kind of talking out of two sides of their mouths. On the one side, they say the stuff is very, very valuable, and on the other side, they say it's really not worth anything at all. We can't afford to pay.
We're talking with Steve Bodo. Do you say Bodo or Bodo?
I say Bodo.
Bodo. He's a writer.
Other people tend to say lots of different things.
Well, we like to get it authentically from the source. And Steve, you write for The Daily Show. Any other activities you want to tell our listeners about that don't run afoul of, you know, the kiddie porn laws?
What else can I tell you? Well, since going on strike, I've actually been back to doing some magazine work. That's what I did before. I worked recently on a package for the issue of Rolling Stone that's out on newsstands now. There's a sort of end-of-the-year wrap-up, and they have a news section in it that's it told a lot of funny stories. That was the last thing that I did, actually.
Mm-hmm. Does The Onion actually pay people a decent wage to write comedy?
You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have never written for The Onion. I know a lot of people who have.
Mm-hmm.
I think my sense of it is that it probably pays, you know, less than television, but that it's still a pretty good and friendly place to work. And those guys are crazy funny, as you know.
Oh yeah, they do a good job.
And they've got a video thing online now too, and you know, they put out, I don't know, maybe one or two short little videos a week, but they're hilarious, really, really funny.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. Now, Steve, if you don't mind saying, you don't have to tell us what you make, but what is a Writers Guild scale for a starting writer on The Daily Show at Comedy Central?
A starting writer, well, under the contract that just ended, a starting writer, I think, would make somewhere in the high $2,000 a week, something like that.
Okay, so about $100,000 a year, although you only get paid when the show is in production, right?
Well, actually, that was the case before we joined the union. One of the things that the union fought for us was to get, unlike other TV shows, like if you're on a sitcom, you have a working year where, you know, you're maybe working for 25 or 30 weeks, and then you're off the rest of the time after that.
Right.
And so you can, you know, you're able to pursue other jobs. But with us at The Daily Show, obviously we can't do that. We've got to be, you know, we get a week break here or there, but we can't, you know, we can't pursue other work. So they were able to argue that we are effectively full-time year-round employees. Mm-hmm.
And is the Daily Show, before the strike, were you up to about like 45, 46 weeks a year? Because it used to be, it seemed like it was 30. There were a lot of reruns, and that seems to have been reduced.
No, that number hasn't changed. I've been at the show 5.5 years now, and, uh-huh. and that number's been pretty steady. I believe we actually produce new shows 42 or 44 weeks a year.
Oh, okay. That's pretty healthy.
And he runs the rest of the time.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. Yep. We're talking with Steve Bodo, and if you have a comment about missing The Daily Show, maybe you have a personal greeting that you'd like to pass along to Jon Stewart, or maybe you have a question about the union issues here and the way the Writers Guild is really leading the charge for other creative unions, and we appreciate that. You're on the front lines, and other contracts, of course, are coming up right behind you, the directors and the actors, and generally it is pattern bargaining, and what you're able to secure is copied by the other contracts. So
That's how it would go.
I hope there is a breakthrough, particularly on these residuals for DVD and for other, you know, additional uses of material, because these days things have changed dramatically, and the first run, let's say, on cable television like The Daily Show is not necessarily the end of the shelf life of the joke that you've written.
No, hardly. I mean, which is right before this, ironically, days before we went on strike, Comedy Central launched a new Daily Show website. And it's got literally every clip that's been on the show since the time Jon started, which is, you know, 8 years or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thousands and thousands and thousands of clips and tens of thousands of jokes. You know, that we've written over the years, and that'll be up forever. And from what I understand, it's getting a pretty good amount of traffic,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's where people will go to watch Daily Show reruns now.
Well, that's where we go to catch the material to use on the radio show. Hope you won't report us. It actually, you know, you can get a cleaner copy from Comedy Central than sometimes at YouTube. That's what I found.
Oh, yeah, it's not all crunched up and compressed. That makes sense. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a break now, and then I want to talk about some of the developments, the way it seems NBC is going to throw Leno out there and let him riff and ad-lib without writers. David Letterman wants to cut a separate deal, and there's some other movement underway as well in this protracted strike between the writers and the networks and movie producers. Our guest is Steve Bodo, and if you have a comment or a question, bring it on now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8377. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays.
Hi,
following the Peter
Hartman,
B. Collins Show.
And you're listening
every
to Monterey Bay's
from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll talk about
KRXA
local and regional issues,
think
national
for
and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic food, so drink organic wine. It makes it all mo' better. You can call them toll-free and order some wine. It's not too late to get it for New Year's. I'm not sure we can get it to you for Christmas. Toll-free number is 888-ECO-WINE, 888-ECO-WINE, or visit their website, ecowine.com. We're talking with Steve Bodo. He is a striking member of the Writers Guild of America. He's on strike against Viacom and the Comedy Central program, The Daily Show, where he is employed as a writer. And, Steve, as I mentioned just before the break, the negotiations haven't made a lot of progress, and so some alternate avenues are being explored. David Letterman, who owns his show and the one that follows him, has said that he might cut what's called an interim agreement. And that's where he would sign a deal that says whatever the final contract agreement is with the collective bargaining group, we will accept, and we'll pay that retroactively if you'll just let our people go back to work. And that's a sensible approach. I don't have a problem with that because it helps pick off some of the people who are part of the consortium, the AMTPP or whatever that's called that you're negotiating with.
Uh-huh.
And the other side of it is that NBC appears prepared to order Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien back to work without writers.
They have done so. Those guys will they will be back on, I believe, January 2nd.
Okay. I didn't know that that had finally been resolved. So that,
I think that was announced just yesterday.
Okay. All right.
And I think today it came out that Jimmy Kimmel will be back on that same day, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that? Are we going to find out how funny Jay Leno really is?
I think it's a great opportunity for him to show us, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sure those guys will do fine. You know, I mean, they have those jobs for a reason. The shows won't be the same, certainly. I think maybe they won't be doing, monologues, but... they'll still, they'll have guests. They'll have maybe more musical guests than they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll find a way to do something.
Yeah.
I'm not worried for them. It's both of those guys, Jay and Conan and Jimmy too. Also, I've been very supportive of the strike. So it's pretty clear they would rather be doing this with their writers, but.
Mm-hmm.
All the hosts have not just the writers, but a very large non-writing, production and creative staffs to worry about as well, and they've been able by hook or by crook to keep getting those people paid as they stayed off the air. But I think they've hit their limit. So after New Year's, they'll be back.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting about this is you and I can kibitz here and, you know, imagine what the show will be like. It might be different, might not be quite as humor or joke-based. But when I signed up for my first big-time radio contract, I was floored by the language in there that the lawyers had written, because I was hired to do a morning show in San Francisco and what we call a radio personality thing. But the contract read that my job was to perform the leads into and leads out of commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, you know, whatever you want to do is fine, but the real job here is to play the damn commercials.
Seems like a tremendous degree of freedom. That doesn't sound like a bad contract.
Yeah, well, put it in perspective for me. Let's take some phone calls here. And, Steve, if you don't mind picking up off the speakerphone, we got an echo there, and it makes it a little hard to hear. Let's go to Mike in Amador County, listening on 1240 Talk City. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Peter. Hey, one thing, I'm a union stagehand, and I really appreciate the union brothers standing strong.
Are you in IATSE?
I am in IATSE, Local 50, Sacramento.
All right. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. It does trickle down. People don't understand that this kind of thing does trickle down. We actually have an issue in most of our contracts where we get paid a little more for broadcast rates. And there has been all sorts of discussion for specifically trade shows that have internet cameras showing the trade shows and whether or not that counts. So this is something that's going to touch all of us.
Well, there's a lot of creep, and the industry makes no secret that it would love to do away with the unions altogether. And it really is this strong stand by the writers right now, at least at this moment, that I credit with forcing industry to confront that it really can't operate without the talented people who make all of these programs and dream them up, create them, polish them up, and generate the ratings that allow these entities to sell commercials or charge for tickets at extortionist type rates. And that's really how the business works. And while it's tough for the writers to be out so long and at this time of year, I'm really grateful for their sacrifice. Steve?
Yeah, I think this is going to affect all people all across the board. I mean, you can put just about anything on the internet now, and if stagehands are doing work that's being seen by bigger audiences, then it seems to me it makes sense that they should. You know, they should be compensated for that, sure.
All right. Mike, anything you want to add?
Well, I did have one other comment about something you said yesterday.
Okay.
The framing that you used when you spoke of hoping that you would never get so much like Ralph Nader that there wasn't a dime's difference between the parties.
Right.
I want to question your framing on that. It's not you that's getting more like Ralph Nader that's making the parties look so similar. It's the parties that need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that blame on yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you for
the show.
Thanks for the therapy, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, I'll see you on the picket line. Now to John in Carmel Valley. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Steve Bodo.
It just horrifies me that these issues keep arising. They seem as old as mankind. You'd think it would be common sense to not only pay people out of the pool of money being made, rather than just grabbing it and keeping as much as you could, you would share the wealth, not only because of the moral aspects, but to keep the economy functioning. If you don't do that, we have what we have, a shrinking economy overall. And it just horrifies me that unions have to literally force the issue. We ought to have an incentive system rather than some forced issue, but I can't see that ever happening.
Steve,
we're not that enlightened.
Steve, I'm afraid John didn't get the trickle-down memo.
Trickle-down economics, that's what I call it. It's such a farce.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, did you say John didn't get the memo?
Yeah.
Because this is not, I should make clear, this is not us versus John. To the contrary, management in this case is Viacom, and John's a member of the Writers Guild, and he stands to benefit from getting a good contract as much as any of us.
Okay, no, I was referring to John the caller.
Oh, John the caller. I'm
Yeah, and what I was saying in tongue-in-cheek was that he didn't get the memo that we've shifted from, you know, an economy that benefits average people to one that is just a kleptocracy for the very wealthy. That's my reference to the trickle-down. John, thanks for the call. Steve, thank you for joining us today, and solidarity, brother.
Thanks very much.
All right. We'll talk again, I hope. Thank you for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show podcast at peterbcollins.com. Our program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
After 3 days in the snow, a happy ending in Northern California.
Everybody seemed to be in pretty good spirits, just a little cold.
The government orders flight reductions in New York.
These new measures will cut delays.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. They set out Sunday to find the perfect Christmas tree in the mountains of Northern California, but 38-year-old Frederick Dominguez and his three children didn't come back. They were lost in deep snow. It was snowing hard this afternoon when a Highway Patrol helicopter crew spotted Dominguez standing on a small bridge waving. The chopper landed nearby. Paramedic Dave White was the first to reach the family.
They were jumping up and down. The little girl started crying, came up and gave me a big hug once I got out, and Just an awesome time.
Everybody was cold, but okay. The chopper took the two girls first, then went back for father and son. As he arrived at the hospital, Dominguez briefly talked to reporters.
I'm glad I'm home. Praise God.
What was it like to be out there?
It was awful.
His mother-in-law says it's going to be the happiest Christmas they've ever had. Now this.
Happy Honda Day!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Air travelers in recent years have spent way too much time in terminals waiting for delayed flights. Often those delays can be traced back to New York's overburdened airports. Today, Transportation Secretary Mary Peters stepped in.
These new measures will cut delays, they will protect consumer choices, they will support New York's economy, and they will allow for new flights as we bring new capacity online.
CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan reports on what the government wants to do.
First and foremost, a plan for fewer flights during peak periods.
Sounds great, but how could you? It's impossible.
That man catching a flight here in New York has doubts these flight restrictions hoped for by next summer would affect the three major airports in New York City in an effort to ease delays around the country. But fewer flights will likely mean higher prices.
Well, I would not be a happy camper. I like my cheap flights.
How much more will we pay? Passenger advocate David Stempler.
If you cut flights by 20%, it wouldn't be unreasonable to have an increase in at least 20% in fares.
Steve Kathan, CBS News, New York.
First the Senate, now the House has approved a massive spending bill that includes $70 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That ends the fight between President Bush and Congress for now. It's estimated that the money will only last until late spring. Another patch has been slapped on the income tax system. CBS News reporter Tom Foti has that.
There was some levity on the floor as the House voted to keep more Americans from becoming subject to the so-called alternative minimum tax for 1 year.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that AMT relief would soon be here.
Washington Democrat Jim McDermott, Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan was a bit more serious.
This tax was never meant to be. This ought to be repealed, period.
The House vote to temporarily block the growth of the alternative minimum tax was 352-64. Tom Foti, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The big energy bill mandating better fuel mileage for cars is now law.
This is a good bill, and I'm pleased to sign it.
In a ceremony at the Energy Department, President Bush described the measure as a major step toward energy independence. Crude oil futures rose more than a dollar today to $91.24 a barrel, and home heating oil is selling at a record $3.21 a gallon. That's up 83 cents from last year. To hear Energy Department analyst Doug McIntyre tell it, people with oil burners might as well burn money.
Across the U.S., we anticipated the average household spending nearly $2,000 this winter period. That's October through March.
There's only one way prices might decline.
A good 2 or 3 week stint of warmer than normal weather might be enough to start pushing it down. Otherwise, we're probably not going to see any significant downturn until the end of winter.
Congress today approved additional funds for the federal program that helps low-income families with their heating bills. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
That's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So you're down to the wire, but you still want to pull off the perfect gift. Pull over instead. I'm talking sweaters, folks. Get 50 to 60% off at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. So bundle up and save a bundle at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I reserve the right to revise my remarks for the records. And I yield the balance of my time to the gentleman from Alaska. This half hour, we're going to learn a little bit about the rules of the Senate, cloture, filibuster, and the way the Republicans have been using these tactics.
I don't like music.
And a little bit later this hour, Professor Marjorie Cohn, who is now president of the National Lawyers Guild, will join us. She is rallying 1,000 lawyers, including Mario Cuomo and Bruce Fein, the Republican who's been on our program many times recently, to demand accountability for the Bush administration. We'll also talk with Professor Cohn about the CIA videotapes. It's the leak that keeps on leaking. But first, Eric Lotke joins us. He is the research director at the Campaign for America's Future. They put on a great conference every year, the Take Back America Conference. And we've been there the last 2 years. We'll be there again this spring. Eric, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello there.
Nice to talk with you. How's it going?
Things are going very well here. The weather is excellent, except that the Republicans are blocking everything in Congress.
Well, indeed. And all too often the Democrats cave in and adopt their agenda, their language, and their framing. But that said, the tactic that we want to talk about here is a very interesting one, and it is confusing. And Eric, let me just confess that I got confused about it on Monday over Chris Dodd's attempt to filibuster and the actual meaning of that cloture vote. And after we define a few terms, I want to kind of go through that one, and you can help me understand it and explain it to our listeners. But fundamentally, the rules of the Senate require 60 votes to end debate and move on to a vote on a specific bill. Is that correct definition?
That is correct, and the word for ending that debate and moving on to an actual vote is called a cloture. It's a cloture vote to close debate and actually go ahead and have a real vote.
And in recent history, when the Republicans ran the Senate, and before Trent Lott made his laudatory racist remarks about Strom Thurmond and was the majority leader, he threatened at various times to use what was called the nuclear option. And that was when the Republicans had a sufficient majority that they could have passed a bill to change the rules of the Senate so that the Democrats would not be able to filibuster and essentially use minority rule to prevent the actual majority from prevailing. Does that make sense?
Right. It was very interesting at that time. The Republicans were nominating, President Bush was nominating right-wing judges. And under the Constitution, judges are selected with the advice and consent of the Senate, which means the Senate votes on these judges. And the Senate passed 86% of Bush's judges. So most of them were making it through uncontroversially. Mm-hmm. Most of them passed. But there were some of them, far right-wing extreme judges, that the Democratic senator said, whoa, we can't vote for these guys. That's too much. Give us somebody else. That's our constitutional prerogative. And the president refused to do it, kept on sending the same extreme judges back, and so the Democrats fell to the filibuster tactic, which they did a handful of times on a handful of nominees, and they filibustered them instead of bringing them to a vote, and the Republicans complained. The motif that you heard again and again on the radio, up or down vote, up or down
right.
vote,
yeah.
These people should have an up or down vote. And so they just wanted it to be pulled to a straight majority. 51 votes would be enough for them to pass, and the Republicans could get that. But they couldn't get a whole 60 to end a filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
So that was back then, and the Republicans even threatened, y'all are abusing the filibuster. We're going to change the rules and not have filibusters anymore. That was what was called the nuclear option at that
right.
time.
Now, Eric Lottke, I'm really ancient, almost a fossil, and I can remember a guy named Everett Dirksen, who was the Senate Minority Leader at a time when the Democrats ran it. He was a Republican from Illinois with a big, gravelly voice. And I recall some filibusters that he participated in when I was a kid, and I had no idea what the subject was or, what the issues were. I could just remember him droning on and on and on and talking all night long. But in practical terms, we don't see the filibuster play out very often. The threat is used, and it stops that particular piece of business from going forward. But rather than submitting to a lengthy speech about nothing, the Senate leaders typically just pull that bill off the floor or use some other parliamentary tactic so that they can move on without forcing everybody to basically stop business as a filibuster proceeds.
You are exactly right. The procedures are interesting, and I hope that we will hear more about that in the future. In the old days, and I remember learning this in grade school, you just drone on and on and on, and until you cede the floor, it remains your turn, and it takes the 60 votes to get you off the floor. That's an actual filibuster. The way it happens these days is they don't actually do a filibuster. They say that they will filibuster,
mm-hmm.
and then the Democrats say, well, it would require 60 votes to get cloture to end the filibuster, and so 60 votes is what's really needed, and, well, we only get 54 or 56, so we wouldn't be able to end the filibuster. So they surrender right then and there, and the Republicans don't actually have to go the distance and actually drone on and on and on and on, which I think would be an interesting exercise. I would very much like to see the Democrats put them to it. They say they're going to filibuster, make them do it in the 24/7 news cycle, leave them filibustering, leave them droning, and let everybody actually see the obstruction take place. I think that would be a more assertive tactic than the Democrats have been doing, and I would like to see them do it. But at the same time, it's very important that we not fall into criticizing the Democrats for what they are not doing or failing to do or not getting passed, because the real story here is that the Republicans are blocking everything. And there are historic levels of obstruction going on. They are blocking absolutely everything. And then they are blaming the Democrats for getting nothing done.
Now, Eric Lotke, he's research director of the Campaign for America's Future. I was surprised when I saw the details of your report today, because you indicate that the Republicans have used the tactic 62 times during this first year of the 110th Congress. And that surprises me because, again, I haven't heard these morons droning on and on all night long. But the threat is sufficient, and because the Democrats have such narrow control of the Senate, they repeatedly have had to back off in the face of Republican filibuster threats or actual stunting to get there.
Right, that's exactly right. Between the filibuster threat and the veto threat, or in half a dozen cases, actual vetoes, the Democrats have not succeeded at getting many things passed. Now, they have had some wins, and they like to go out there and they like to brag. They got the minimum wage passed, and they got the CAFE standards raised to increase fuel mileage, and you know, and they're succeeding in various ways, and they want the student loans was a real win. Did some good work on college affordability, and they want to brag about that, and that's I think that's earned. They're allowed to brag about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, they want to do more. And if you look at the list of the bills that were filibustered, you know, children's health insurance out of Iraq, strings on the war, you know, funding only if you remove the troops, all these different kinds of things, it shows a very different direction that they're trying to take to get the country. And the people voted for that direction in 2006, and the Democrats are trying to get it there, and the House Democrats succeeding more than the Senate Democrats. And I think it's fair to say, yes, they get their brags, they've earned that, but it's also fair to say they have not succeeded at getting a lot of that done.
Well, and let's just take the energy bill you just cited. You are correct that it is an important step forward, that we are raising the fuel mileage standards against the long-term opposition of Detroit. At the same time, to get that, we had to hold our noses over $25 billion in loan guarantees to new nuclear power plant construction, and they eviscerated the rollback of tax breaks for oil companies. And that was going to be used to pay for research and development of renewable energy resources. So I agree with you that the Democrats have shifted the focus. This is an energy bill that didn't call for any offshore oil drilling or any drilling in Anwar. And Richard Pombo is rolling over in his boots in Modesto right now about that. But when we look at the big picture, it is a very disappointing level of progress. And I do agree that they encounter Republican obstruction either in the Senate or from the White House with virtually everything they attempt to do.
And it is a disappointing performance. I am also disappointed. Many of us want them to stand stronger and get more things done. I think if we and I don't want to defend them too much because I confess to being disappointed. At the same time, I think it's fair to step back and say, look, they've only been there for a year. There's not much that can get done in a year. And there's incredible unified opposition against them. They have very, very narrow margins, especially in the Senate. They got a couple of things passed. That's good. And the real story here is this historic level of GOP obstruction, where ordinarily there are 50 or 60 cloture votes, filibusters and filibuster threats in a Congress. And now they're up to 62 only in the first session. So they're on pace for 134 in the whole two-year term of Congress. They're on pace for 134 filibusters. And historical norms are something like 50 or 60.
All right, we're going to take a break and return. Our guest is Eric Lotke. He's research director at the Campaign for America's Future. Their website, americasfuture.org. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joe Jackson says you can't get what you want till you know what you want.
I'm feeling so lost and lonely.
We can continue with Eric Lotke. He's research director at the Campaign for America's Future. We're talking about the Senate rules, about cloture, filibusters, and the way Republicans have obstructed Democratic efforts in Congress this year. And, Eric, I would just add to your comments before the break. I do understand the difficulties that the Democrats have faced. And I also feel that on many fronts they have been outwitted by the Republicans in ways that do disappoint me, but I can understand them. What I cannot countenance is the failure to use prerogative of the majority. And in particular, these two stinky pieces of legislation, the Protect America Act and the new bill that Dodd was starting to filibuster on Monday, which offers amnesty to the phone companies and amends the FISA law in ways that I simply think are inappropriate and unnecessary. And my point is that the Democrats never should have let these bills get to the floor so that they could be either filibustered by one side or the other.
I think you're right about all of that. I think you're right that they shouldn't have been passed. I think that they should be aggressive in changing them now. I think that they can be more aggressive. I'm hopeful that they will be more aggressive. And so at the same time that I agree with you on all of that, I sort of feel like it's piling on to an old storyline that we're all used to seeing. Democrats fail, Democrats infighting, Democrats weak. And really, there's a good deal of Democratic unity. Not bad Democratic spine if you look at how weak they often are. And what's really new here is the Republican, two things. One is the Republican level of obstruction with the historically high levels of filibusters. And then secondly, the what I call the block and blame strategy, where they block everything and blame the Democrats for getting nothing done. And the blame game is the one that's getting a lot of play in the press, so that people talk about, well, gridlock in Congress, do nothing Congress, nothing happening in Congress, and we put the Democrats in to bring these changes, and the Democrats failed, throw our hands up and shrug at the Democrats. And they deserve the shrug, but I don't want to give the Republicans a blank check. I don't want to just let them do all of these truly destructive things, and then we end up blaming the Democrats for not stopping them. This is mugging the postman and then complaining that the mail doesn't arrive. And so I don't want to pile on under the complaining that the mail didn't arrive. I want to point the finger at this mugging. This is twice as many filibusters as there normally are. Mm-hmm. It's far more filibusters than the Democrats were using when the Republicans considered the nuclear option of ending the filibuster threat, when the Democrats were filibustering those handful of far-right-wing judicial nominees. And so I don't want to fall for it. What's happening here is right-wing extremism, and it's unified extremism, where they're holding out on everything and blocking everything.
Right. They have
a couple of things passed. Yeah, I want more, but I don't want to act as if the problem is Democratic weakness. The problem is Republican obstruction, and we need to hold them accountable for doing it.
Okay. Eric, we got about 2 minutes, so see if you can help me understand exactly what was going on Monday. The FISA amendment bill with the phone company amnesty was brought to the floor by Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader. Then Chris Dodd threatened a filibuster. That led to a cloture vote, 76-10, and that was a vote that did prevail to end debate, right? 76-10 cloture means that was an agreement to end debate, but then Harry Reid pulled the bill after a threat of the Dodd filibuster. So explain that for those of us who are trying to figure it out.
I actually, and I will confess, I was not tracking that vote very closely. Everything that you say sounds right to me.
Okay.
But I don't want to try to interpret it, because I don't quite know what Reid was thinking, and I don't know what were the issues that caused that vote count. What I was watching more closely was the budget bill, the $500 billion big omnibus budget that funds the entire country, where the whole federal government, where the House passed it with limitations on war funding, and then the Democrats and then the Senate could not pass the bill with the limitations on war funding, because they couldn't get 60 votes on those limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they ended up passing it with $70 billion of unrestricted funds that the president can use in Iraq, which did not, that's not what the House wanted. That's not what they voted for. And that's not even what a majority of the senators wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get 60 in order to end it. And, you know, they have a 51-vote majority, and they got 51 votes to pass to stop the war funding.
Well, look, we're doing
that's
our part.
Bad.
We're doing our part in California. Both the senators are nominally Democrats, and Barbara Boxer always votes with the Democrats.
Right.
Thank you, Eric. Great to talk with you.
And this report that we're talking about, our webpage, ourfuture.org, OurFuture.org.
Gotcha. Eric Lotke, great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Was this really the U.S. Congress? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president has signed an energy bill which requires cars to average 35 miles a gallon by 2020. Extremely controversial, and yet the vote in both houses was overwhelming, which to me is the real story. There was a strange Yuletide warmth between Republicans and Democrats. Even Republicans and Democrats who disagree, like Joe Barton and John Dingell. Listen to this.
Time has expired.
Mr. Speaker, I would strongly urge a no vote.
Mr. Speaker, I yield my good friend. I don't agree with what he's saying, but I love him dearly, so I yield him at this time for one additional minute.
I do thank my good friend. We don't disagree on the love for the institution and the love for democracy.
You could hear a bell ring on George Bailey's Christmas tree. And Speaker Nancy Pelosi used terms you usually don't hear from Democrats when she talked about the bill's mission.
To preserve God's beautiful legacy to us, and we have a moral responsibility to preserve it.
In that spirit, she got support not just from the usual labor unions and environmentalists, but religious groups, too.
And it is a moral issue, and that's why we work closely with the evangelical and faith-based communities.
Now, the harmony's not going to last. Once this bill is signed, Democrats and Republicans will go back to fighting about Iraq. But if this does signal a world where efficiency is more stylish than power, where supporting the troops means getting 35 miles a gallon, where 0 to 60 in 4 seconds is considered unpatriotic, where U.S. demand for oil drops by twice what we now import from the Persian Gulf, well, in a world like that, countries like Iraq suddenly become a lot less important, don't they?
Reason number 13 to switch to GEICO. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
In a moment, Marjorie Cohn returns to our program of professional constitutional law and the new president of the National Lawyers Guild. But first, I thought we'd let young Bob Cray sing us a little lawyer joke. Do you mind?
You can give me an hour, loan in a bank, pay all my tickets, wipe the slate blank. You can buy me a car, fill up the tank, tell me a boat full of lawyers just sank. But it ain't nothing but a woman, nothing but a woman, no, no.
Yeah, that was the joke. Tell me that a boatload of lawyers just sank. Marjorie Cohn, happy holidays, and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks, Peter B. Happy holidays to you, too.
How you doing?
You're doing fine.
But you're not resting and relaxing and just kicking back. You've got a big news conference that you're launching tomorrow, and you have a powerful piece that you wrote about Bush and Iran that I want to talk with you about. First up, I'm really pleased to see what you're doing because we've commented recently that in Pakistan, the most active group of people opposing the power grabs by Musharraf, which have been condoned by the Bush administration, are lawyers. And last spring, they led the demonstrations that caused Musharraf to temporarily about-face and reinstate the Supreme Court justice who he then fired during the emergency rule, the martial law that started in November. And lawyers were once again very much front and center in the streets of Pakistan until the troops cleared the streets.
Well, that's true, and if the lawyers don't stand up for the rule of law, who will? It's up to the lawyers to tell the people what the law is, and the reason that I'm not resting is because the Bush administration every day comes out, there are new revelations about new lawbreaking by the Bush administration, and that's why we have launched, more than 1,000 lawyers have launched a campaign urging John Conyers and Patrick Leahy in the House and the Senate, respectively, to vigorously investigate criminality in the Bush administration.
And impeachment is not off your table, right?
No, it's not off the table, and what we are advocating is investigations, and the investigations should go where they must, including into the offices of the president and vice president. And if the hearings demonstrate that laws have been broken, then we lawyers support all legal and congressional actions necessary to make sure that justice is done and that people who are guilty are held accountable. And if that means criminal prosecutions, so be it. If that means impeachment, so be it. But it's time for the Congress to stand up and really do some investigation of what's been going on, because it's the law breaking in this administration is rampant. It's not like there haven't been other administrations that have engaged in violations of the law, but never to this extent.
Well, and I'm gratified to see the bipartisan group that you have assembled. Bruce Fine has really impressed me. He's been on this show maybe 6 times in the last 3 or 4 months, and his articulation of the constitutional standard coming from a Republican who was part of the Ken Starr team that led the misguided impeachment effort against Bill Clinton, I think is quite remarkable.
It is, and Bruce Fine is a man of conscience. I mean, he's not just a Republican. He has a conscience, and he believes in the rule of law, and he's not afraid to stand up and say so when he sees violations of the law, and I respect him for it.
Mm-hmm. So what are you calling for? You're going to do a news conference tomorrow, hopefully to generate some publicity. And you've got Michael Ratner, who is a man I deeply admire. He's over at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And by defending the Guantanamo detainees, they are defending our constitutional rights. I think it's very important for people to understand that. And you, of course, in your role as the new president of the National Lawyers Guild, which has a lengthy history of resisting government intrusion, oh, like during the McCarthy era.
Yes, well, we are calling this group that grows out of the American Freedom Campaign, that's AmericanFreedomCampaign.org, is called American Lawyers Defending the Constitution. And we are calling for the House Judiciary Committee, that's John Conyers, and the Senate Judiciary Committee, that's Patrick Leahy, to initiate real hearings and investigations of lawbreaking in the Bush administration, and that is the torture, the reasons for going to war, the obstruction of justice by not following subpoenas, the U.S. attorney firing scandal, and the latest scandal, which is the destruction of evidence, the destruction of interrogation tapes by the CIA, which could really become a very big problem for the Bush administration, so much so that today the White House, and this is on www.whitehouse.gov, the press secretary issued a statement asking the New York Times to change the sub-headline of its story, which said White House role was wider than it said about the implications of lawyers in the White House in the destruction of these tapes by the CIA. And it's a two-page release, very defensive, and I think that indicates to me that the White House is really concerned about this scandal. Michael Mukasey, he's the new Attorney General, of course, he refused to comply with requests, demands, I guess you would say, by both houses of Congress who are doing investigations into this matter, saying that that would interfere with the Department of Justice's investigation. And this is a new thing because frequently, the Congress and the executive are simultaneously investigating various matters. So Mukasey's refusal to cooperate with Congress hopefully will result in Congress getting its back up and saying, wait a minute, holding some contempt hearings.
Mm-hmm.
There is a judge, a federal court judge,
Kennedy,
who is going to hold a hearing on Friday,
right,
into whether or not the CIA improperly destroyed the tapes. And there's another lawsuit pending by the ACLU for the refusal of the CIA to comply with a Freedom of Information Act request in providing these tapes. So the Bush administration has a lot of explaining to do, I should say.
Indeed. And yesterday, Marjorie, we were kibitzing about this and remarking that Mukasey is teamed up with Fred Fielding, who is a veteran of the Nixon-Stonewall team back in the late 60s, early 70s. And they've got a lot of stonemasonry work to do here. They've got to construct a stone wall against the court, this Judge Henry Kennedy, who appears to be steaming mad about this. And we'll see what comes out of the hearing on Friday. But we have congressional committees that Mukasey is trying to hold at bay. And he is continuing to avoid any commentary on torture and waterboarding, which, of course, was the subject of great controversy in his confirmation hearings. So he's really got his hands full.
Abu Zubaydah, he was the subject of some of these videotapes that were destroyed. He was waterboarded, and they admit that he was waterboarded. Abu Zubaydah, it's interesting, I talk about him in my book. He was considered by the Bush administration to be chief of operations for Al-Qaeda and bin Laden's number three man. Dan Coleman, one of the FBI's leading experts on Al-Qaeda, said that this is what he said of Zubaydah. I'm reading out of my book. He knew very little about real operations or strategy. He was expendable, you know, the greeter, Joe Lewis, in the lobby of Caesar's Palace shaking hands. And Coleman also said that Zubaydah was schizophrenic. The top levels of the CIA actually agreed with Coleman, and George Tenet, said, I said Zubaydah was important. You're not going to let me lose face on this, are you? Rather, Bush said that to Tenet.
You're right.
When Tenet told him that Zubaydah was not a high-level player.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did Zubaydah tell him under interrogation? Well, he told him about Al-Qaeda targeting the Brooklyn Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, shopping malls, banks, supermarkets, water systems, nuclear plants, apartment buildings. It reported that Al-Qaeda was close to building a nuclear bomb. None of it was corroborated, but each time Zubaydah gave information after he was tortured, the Bush administration seized upon it.
Yeah.
So this is one of the high-level detainees whose tapes were destroyed. And, you know, this is what we're really talking about is obstruction of justice. It's a very basic principle of constitutional law that the prosecutor has to turn over to the defense in a criminal case any evidence that might exonerate him. This is long-standing constitutional law. And so if the Bush administration is knowingly, and it looks like there were Alberto Gonzalez and David Addington and Harriet Myers, people right in the White House,
right,
were responsible for these tapes being destroyed, then that's obstruction of justice.
And in addition, Marjorie, today at truthout.org, my colleague Jason Leopold broke a story that Michael Chertoff, who's now the head of Homeland Security and was head of the criminal division at Justice back during the time that these tapes were being discussed, that he played a role in advising the destruction of them.
Right.
So it's very interesting to see that network, and it explains why, in short order, the Bush White House basically just shut down on this subject and said anything we say about it is just going to get us in more trouble.
Well, you know, they're clearly, I mean, what is so classified about a technique that has been in the Army Field Manual and the CIA's manual? It's been public, it's on the internet, and they're saying, oh, you know, it's going to impact national security. You know, the only thing it's going to impact is whether or not the people in the high levels of our government are guilty of obstruction of justice. That's what they're really concerned about, you know, covering their backsides. And that's why they issued this two-page press release today on whitehouse.gov, trying to get the New York Times to tamp down its subtitle, because it would implicate the White House.
We're talking with Marjorie Cohn, professor of law at the Thomas Jefferson School in San Diego and president of the National Lawyers Guild. The book she referred to came out this summer. It's Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, and it's from Polly Point Press. Now, Marjorie, I wanted to talk about a column that you posted at the Huffington Post a few days ago regarding this about-face in the National Intelligence Estimate, saying that Iran had suspended any nuclear weapons development program as far back as 2003, and yet Bush and Cheney are still reading the scripts that were written before this information was made public. They're still rattling sabers, and they have this bizarre concept that Iran has to come clean and admit that what our intelligence estimate says is true, but not that they stopped. We want to focus on the fact that they used to be attempting to develop a nuclear weapon.
Well, it's called spinning, and that's why I titled it Bush Still Spinning Nukes in Iran. They're trying to put a good face on this, but when you have all 16 of the top U.S. intelligence agencies unanimously agreeing that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons, this really puts a crimp in their agenda for regime change in Iran. And Bush said, right after this this report came out, Bush said, I have said Iran is dangerous. It's like scolding a child. You know, when a parent scolds a child, I have said Iran is dangerous, and the NIE estimate doesn't do anything to change my opinion about the danger Iran poses to the world. Quite the contrary. You know, it's important to keep in mind that Iran helped the United States right after 9/11 consolidate our power in Afghanistan. And how was Iran rewarded? Well, Bush put it right into his axis of evil in January of the following year, January of 2002. And in 2003, the same year that this NIE report says that Iran stopped developing nuclear weapons, and by the way, the UN maintains that there's no evidence Iran was ever developing nuclear weapons, but the same year, 2003, Iran sent a memorandum to the U.S. government proposing a dialogue in mutual respect and seeking negotiations on all of the issues that Bush says are important. Iranian endeavors to develop weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda on Iranian territory, destabilization in Iraq, support to Hamas, and recognition of the state of Israel, and all of those things Iran proposed to talk about and negotiate if the U.S. would also negotiate about halting its U.S. hostile behavior in and rectification of status in Iran, the axis of evil, abolishing the sanctions, promoting a democratic and non-religious government in Iraq, access to peaceful nuclear technology, and this is a big one, recognition of Iran's legitimate security interests in the region.
Well, clearly they couldn't be serious, Marjorie.
Well, how do we know if they were serious? I mean, Bush rejected it out of hand, and then he tried to cover it up.
Well, this is the guy who looked into Putin's eyes and saw his soul.
I know. When you think about the fact that Bush and Cheney may well go in and attack Iran, and you see that Iran actually offered to negotiate about all these issues that Bush says are important, it's really counterintuitive. But then, if you look at what the real agenda probably is, by looking at the website of the American Enterprise Institute, which is a neoconservative think tank, it talks about research projects, global investment in Iran. And I think really that's what it's about. It's clear that Operation Iraqi Freedom was about corporate control over Iraq's oil and the big permanent bases and the Iraqi oil law. And the agenda is very similar in Iran. And if the Iranian government, the U.S. has supported dictatorships happily. In fact, we're supporting a dictatorship in Saudi Arabia that sentences a woman to, 300 lashes and 6 months in jail for being raped.
Right.
It's not a question of supporting a dictatorship. It's a question of supporting a government that's friendly to U.S. corporate interests. And if Saddam Hussein had said to U.S. oil companies, come on in and we're going to give you sweet deals on Iraqi oil, Saddam Hussein would still be in power in Iraq. And the same goes for Iran. So I think that we really, we really should not be fooled twice about what Bush's agenda is. And I would not put it past Bush and Cheney to attack Iran, to come up with some kind of pretext, some kind of provocation, stage a provocation, and then bypass Congress, saying we had to respond in self-defense. And if they don't bypass Congress, he'll probably pull out the 2002 congressional authorization for the use of military force in Iraq.
And tie it to the Kyle Lieberman resolution, which declares Iran
the Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization. And then the 2002 congressional authorization for force in Iraq says the president has authority to take action to prevent acts of international terrorism. So there you have it. And I really think that we need to pressure Congress to pass a resolution making it very clear that Bush does not have authority to go to war with Iran.
That's really
important.
That's being carried by Congressman Abercrombie from Hawaii, if people want to check that out. Marjorie Cohn, thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate the work you're doing, and I hope you get great response to your news conference tomorrow.
Thanks, Peter B., and have a good holiday.
Yep, same to you. And visit the website AmericanFreedomCampaign.org where you can get more information. They have a simple pledge there. We're Americans. In our America, we do not torture. We do not imprison people without charge or legal remedy. We do not tap people's phones and emails without a court order. And above all, we do not give any president unchecked power. We'll continue in a moment right here, live on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
And Leslie Lee Traffic here on KRXA. Talking about a problem being reported. It's in the Santa Clara area. It's eastbound 237 at Great American Parkway. Three-vehicle crash being reported there. Santa Clara County Highway 9 at Redwood Gulch. We have a solo vehicle that went 30 feet off the embankment. CHP is on the scene now. King City getting word of a problem at Cross Road. Just about, it's Jolin Road at Crossroads. It's a pickup truck that went off of the roadway, and emergency crews are now on scene there. In Aptos Hills in Larkin Valley, Larkin Valley Road at Marmonte, we have a grass fire. It's burning near the roadway. In fact, the fire department is now on scene. With support brought to you by Hallmark. Want to make those gift cards as fun to open as they are to redeem? Well, use the Hallmark gift card holders that play your favorite holiday songs. Visit your Hallmark Gold Ground store today. And that is a look at traffic here on KRXN.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
No fighting. No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I really knew that she could dance like this.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. I'm starting to feel it's right.
Coming up right after the top of the hour. Next hour is entirely yours, the Free Speech Zone. We'll take your calls and comments on a variety of subjects. And I'm going to just tip you off that right after the top of the hour news, I have an important statement to pass along to you, because in view of the primaries and the way things are shaping up, I am shifting my alliances and my political intentions. And I want to share that with you and get your reaction, see if you're moving in the same direction or not. And I think it'll be a real interesting hour. Get ready to dial in at 888-5-PETER-B. And Karen is on the line in Sacramento. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Karen.
Well, I'll help you. I was hoping you could help me with my conscience today, because I'm feeling mighty unpatriotic.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
I'm having these terrible thoughts. You know, that fire that happened in Mr. Cheney's office today. I keep thinking that he was trying to destroy evidence. I don't know what I'm thinking that.
Well, either that or maybe he was freebasing.
That could be it.
You know, and those little propane cookers get out. I really don't know. But, yeah, this is an interesting story. In the old executive office building where Cheney has a ceremonial office, there was a serious fire. And they are reporting some pretty extensive damage there. And your reaction was the very same as mine, Karen. In fact, I was not aware of this until during the break. Katrina tipped me off, and I'm looking at a story from a news source, AFP. I'm not even sure who that is. But they're saying it's too early to specify the cause. We've got to investigate. The blaze has been confined to room 274, which Cheney aides confirmed to be the vice president's ceremonial office. And later on, they said it had struck down the hall. So I don't know all the details, but I'm sure that we'll find out more about that. It should be interesting.
OK. Okay, I'll try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I wouldn't waste it. Thanks, Karen. Laura in Sacramento, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
When I heard the news this morning about the suspicious fire in the executive building, the first thing that came to my mind was, burning of the Reichstag. And won't it be curious to find out if, in fact, some of the material that was lost and burnt up is the same material that has been subpoenaed either by a court or congressional or senatorial subcommittee, or
wow,
possibly some emails that, you know, were related to, that circumvented the White House email, you know, the ones that went through the Republican National Committee Blackberries and computer system.
You're a little suspicious there, aren't you?
Just a tad. Well, you know, when fascism starts marching in my country, I am suspicious.
I cannot challenge it, Laura. We need to be suspicious. We'll have to look into this further and examine their excuses, look for the evidence that was destroyed, and hope there's some other copies around.
Don't limit your examination to their excuses. You'll want to include their motivations as well.
All right. We'll do that. Thank you, Laura. More of your calls coming up next hour. I want to get into it with you on the presidential race. It's time. That's it. Straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A happy ending to the story of a Northern California man and his three children who went looking for a Christmas tree in the mountains and got lost in deep snow. Frederick Dominguez and the kids were rescued by helicopter this afternoon, and after a three-day ordeal, authorities say they suffered nothing worse than mild to moderate hypothermia. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes has their story.
The four set off on Sunday after church to cut down a Christmas tree. But because they're divorced, Dominguez's ex-wife Lisa Sams didn't know the four were missing until the next night.
I just figured that Freddie, they got in late, decorated the tree, and then he was going to take the kids to school the next morning.
But after the children's school said they didn't show up, she reported them missing and gathered with family and friends to wait as rescuers set out to look for them in snow as deep as 7 feet and nighttime temperatures well below freezing.
The family huddled in a culvert for warmth, but Dominguez says it was awful. Another dropout from the race for the Republican presidential nomination. Reportedly, Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo is ready to throw in the towel. Congress, about to head home for the holidays, has passed a bill inspired by the Virginia Tech tragedy, making it more difficult for people with documented mental health problems to buy guns.
If this sort of a system had been in place, Virginia might have gotten the records in that would have stopped the Virginia Tech killer from getting his guns.
Paul Helmicke of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence is usually on a different side than the National Rifle Association, but the NRA's Wayne LaPierre has no objection to the measure.
Everything in this for the law-abiding gun owner is a step forward. There's not one step backward in terms of this bill that just passed Congress.
It's not clear whether President Bush intends to sign it. He will sign the massive spending bill given final congressional approval today. It includes $70 billion in new funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he'll sign the latest patch to prevent more Americans from getting whacked by the alternative minimum tax. House Ways and Means Chairman Charles Rangel hopes they won't have to use patches anymore.
We come out on the side of the taxpayers, and then in a responsible way, maybe the Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate can deal with this in a more permanent way next year.
CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has an update on home heating oil prices.
The average price in the past week rose by 4 cents a gallon to over $3.29. That's around 35% higher than last year at this time. At the Federal Energy Information Administration, Doug McIntyre blames the world price of oil and
the recent cold weather and the ice storms that have hit much of the north, particularly in the northeast where most of the heating oil is used.
So inventories of heating oil were drained a lot more than expected. Bad time for a shortage. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow lost 25 points today. The Nasdaq gained 5 points. And the price of oil rose a dollar. This is CBS News.
This year, give the gift they'll appreciate for years to come. The acclaimed Bose Wave Music System. It's elegantly small, with sound that brings new life to music. Forbes FYI says it sounds like a system that costs 5 times more. David Novak, the gadget guy, adds it can easily replace whatever component system you currently have. And it's available with an optional multi-CD changer for hours of uninterrupted music. To order the Bose Wave Music System for that special person on your list, call 1-800-556-9013. That's 1-800-556-9013. To make it a gift they'll enjoy even more, order it together with the multi-CD changer by December 31st, 2007, and save $50. An excitement guarantee gives you 30 days to try them in your home risk-free. Ask about easy payments with no interest charges from Bose. The Wave Music System and multi-CD changer, the gift that makes special occasions even more special. 1-800-556-9013 for the Bose Wave Music System. 1-800-556-9013.
By the places they pick for the induction ceremonies, you might not know where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is actually located. CBS's Jim Taylor has a reminder for us.
Cleveland is going to rock again.
Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks!
Yeah, gone for a decade from the city that's home to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In fact, only held there once. Induction ceremonies returned to Cleveland in 2009. And if it goes okay, it'll be back every 3 years. Next March, the party's in New York again, and going in, Madonna, John Mellencamp, Leonard Cohen, The Ventures, and the Dave Clark Five. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
After an unfavorable ruling in a paternity case, Samuel Shoemaker of Hempfield Township, Pennsylvania, got mad and threatened to punch and strangle the judge. He was charged with retaliation against a judicial official and making terroristic threats. Now Shoemaker wants the charges dismissed. He says no one could take him seriously because he has no legs and only limited use of his arms. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Happy Honda Days!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Get ready for a lively conversation this hour. I'm Peter B. Collins. This is the Free Speech Zone. And it's time to get down to brass tacks. It's time to get real about the California primary on February 5th. And I want to open up the phone lines this hour and hear from you. Who are you going to be voting for president on February 5th? Now, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know that I have staunch support for Dennis Kucinich. And it's very interesting. Last night I was a little holiday gathering, and some of my more moderate friends, they're not Republicans, but moderate folks, told me about an online quiz that they had taken, and it surprised them that when they checked off the boxes of the positions, the political positions they support, my one friend Rita said, I came up with 92% for Dennis Kucinich. And yet at this point, as I look at the California poll that was just published today, and I see that Hillary Clinton's lead among likely voters in the California Democratic primary has declined from a peak of about 49% to 36%. She still has a 14-point lead over the number two Democrat, Barack Obama. And she has a 23-point lead over John Edwards, the former senator, former vice presidential candidate. And so it's time to make difficult choices. I like Dennis Kucinich. I support him on the positions. I wish that he were one of these top three polling Democratic candidates in the California poll. But at this point, I can't rationalize casting a vote for Dennis Kucinich because the most important task before me is to do everything I can to prevent Hillary Clinton from winning the Democratic nomination. Not only do I feel I cannot support her because of her lack of vision and leadership in the United States Senate, which is really the critical experience that we're evaluating. Hillary can talk about 35 years, but we haven't been following her for 35 years. We didn't vote for her for 35 years. We didn't elect her first lady. But people did elect her as a carpetbagger, as New York senator in 2000, and she was handily reelected in 2006. I think her experience in the Senate is pretty shallow. Now, in terms of time served, certainly she exceeds Barack Obama and John Edwards. But I don't think that's the measure. And for me, it will not be. Her failure to oppose the war and her dance around the issue are matters that I cannot forget and will not forgive. And so as I approach this, and I know this is going to make some of you feel uncomfortable because you've heard me talk with Dennis Kucinich. I think he's a fine man. I think he would make a great president. But I don't think it's going to happen. And so I am not going to hitch my wagon to an ideal horse. I am a pragmatist, and pragmatically, as I've said, I want to see Hillary Clinton defeated. Because if she is the Democratic standard bearer, I fear that we will lose. And that's a scary thought when you look at the raggedy Republican field of Huckabee and Giuliani and Romney and even McCain's wistful dreaming with a couple of recent endorsements. We cannot risk in any way, shape, or form another 4 years of any kind of Republican at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And what unifies the Republicans at a time when the party's been decimated by the neocons, by the fiscal failures of the Bush administration, by the foreign policy blunders of Bush and the gang? I'm sorry. Another 4 years of a Republican in the White House, able to pack the Supreme Court with Alitos and Roberts and veto children's health care and keep us in Iraq longer than any Democrat, even the worst among them? That's my rationale. And I'd like to hear from you exactly where you are as we approach the end of 2007. We basically have 6 weeks here in California to make up our minds. Now, I'm an independent, a declined to state voter. I go to the poll. I ask for a Democratic ballot. And at this point, I will cast the ballot for the number two polling Democrat. I honestly support John Edwards more than Barack Obama on policy issues. But I believe that Obama has the potential to really change the landscape and attract not just Oprah viewers, but a whole lot of new people, young people, disenfranchised people, non-white people, to the process. And so, on any day of the week, at any moment, I find Senator Obama or Senator Edwards head and shoulders above Senator Clinton. And for those reasons, and it isn't easy, I have to tell you, I have wrestled with this. I have to say thanks, Dennis Kucinich, thanks, Mike Gravel, thanks, Chris Dodd, thanks, Joe Biden, I'm not so sure I want to thank you, Bill Richardson, thanks. But it's time to get cool, calm, collected, and calculating. And my calculation is we've got to stop Hillary Clinton. And that gives us really two choices based on the California poll, Obama or Edwards. So that's my thinking. I'd like to hear yours. I've got three lines open right now. We're going to take your calls this entire hour here in the Free Speech Zone. So step up and tell me what's on your mind. Up first here, we've got line one. I'm sorry, I have to scroll up. And it's Paula in Arcata. Welcome, Paula. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. It's great to talk to you. I am so with you on this. When I first started looking at all this, I was like, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to vote for Kucinich in the primary. The only way he'll get there. And now I'm just so torn. I know that he can't win, but I still want to stick to my principles.
Yeah. No, it's very difficult. And, I mean, we talked to Dennis just last week. He was excluded from that Des Moines Register-sponsored debate. But Alan Keyes was included on the Republican side. I mean, that's so insulting to progressives and to Dennis Kucinich himself. And yet we have to accept the reality that we can't change the way the media has set the table. We can't change the way the media uses fundraising and name ID as inaccurate barometers of electability. And when you look at the current polling, John Edwards is the guy who can defeat virtually every Republican contender for the presidency. And he defeats them by wider margins than any other Democrat. And given the narrow elections that we've seen in recent years that, in my view, were heisted, stolen, hijacked, we need to have as big a margin of victory as possible to overcome what I call the margin of graft. And so I don't believe we can take the risk of nominating Hillary Clinton. And every time Bill Clinton opens his mouth these days, he says something that reaffirms my thinking.
Exactly.
We don't need him as the first spice in the White House either.
That's the truth. I'm so not voting for Hillary, and I'm definitely leaning towards Edwards. But Obama has that, you know, he's got what Clinton had in 92, so...
All right, Paula. Well, I understand the conflictedness here. I'm going to give you 30 days, all right?
Okay.
I want you to call me. What is this? This is the 19th of December. Will you call me on or about the 19th of January and let me know your current thinking at that time?
I will, Peter.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Paula. Now to Steve in Salinas. Welcome, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I hope you can understand me. I just got back from the dentist, but this is, I think, really important.
Steve, I want to tell you that I've interviewed Dr. John, the Night Tripper, four times, and every time I talked to him, he sounded really loaded, and he said, yeah, I just got back from the dentist. I hope I sound okay.
Okay, well, I'll feel his excuse then.
All right, it's, what is it? You're in the right place at the right time.
Okay, well, besides all the things you mentioned about Hillary, I can see Republicans just boycotting this election coming up because they don't have anything they can support. But the hatred that the Republicans have for the Clintons is so strong that they will go en masse to vote against Hillary, regardless of who the Republican nominee is. They will vote against her.
Well, you're right,
Steve. It will bring out all the Republicans.
Steve, I completely agree with you, and this is not just a matter of speculation or, you know, my bias against the Clinton family or the Clinton dynasty. It's borne out in the polls. Hillary Clinton has the highest negatives of any candidate running, and she has the lowest undecideds. And what that means is...
She's stuck right there.
Yeah, she's stuck right there. Everybody's made up their minds. They think they know who she is and what she's stands for, and there are huge portions of the electorate in both parties who say, I could never, ever vote for Hillary Clinton. And so the Democrats cannot take that chance, and I believe that California is going to be in a pivotal role. I think that the results coming out of the early states will be mixed. I see a potential for Obama or Edwards to score an upset against Clinton in Iowa, although that's very hard to read. It does appear that she's trending down in New Hampshire. And then we've got the Florida election, which I think is going to have more impact than it should, because Florida moved up to the middle of January, and they've been punished by the Democratic National Committee. Half of their delegates will be barred from the convention. But that won't really matter, because I think Florida is going to be a critical mid-January barometer, given its role, particularly in 2000, as the pivotal state.
I think my choice would be Edwards for president, because he has the fewest negatives and, for me, the strongest positives, and Obama for vice president.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Steve, and I hope you feel better after your trip to the dentist.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. 888-5 Peter B. You got the idea of what we're talking about. Lines are open for you this entire hour. And there are no wrong answers. There are no opinions that are unacceptable. I want to hear who you're prepared to vote for in the California primary on February 5th. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Free Speech Zone continues in a moment right here.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new. A unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA. Talking about a problem being reported. Well, it's in the Santa Clara area. It's eastbound 237 for Great American Parkway. Three-vehicle crash being reported there. Santa Clara County Highway 9 in Redwood Gulch. We have a solo vehicle that went 30 feet off the embankment. CHP is on the scene now. King City getting word of a problem at Cross Road. Just about, it's Jolin Road at Crossroads. It's a pickup truck that went off of the roadway, and emergency crews are now on scene there. In Aptos Hills in Larkin Valley, Larkin Valley Road at Marmonte, we have a grass fire. It's burning near the roadway. In fact, the fire department is now on scene. The support brought to you by Hallmark. Want to make those gift cards as fun to open as they are to redeem? Well, use the Hallmark gift card holders that play your favorite holiday songs. Visit your Hallmark Gold Ground store today. And that is a look at traffic here on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Show. Oh, yeah, sing along. Remember exactly when that is from. I guess late 60s or early 70s. Up with people. We got people. We got people on the line in the free speech zone calling to talk about the presidential race. Up next, it's Steve in Elk Grove listening on 1240 Talk City. Hi, Steve.
Hi, this is your Elk Grove Steve, member of the Special Federal Press.
That's right, Barrister. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's not exactly a barrister. It's only by court order. I never made a penny practice in law, although a lot of law professors and deans of law schools have told me that only a millionaire could afford the legal work I did in the 70s and 80s. But this is a fascinating question you're asking, because I've been thinking about it myself recently. And the reason I like John Edwards is because he has helped the poor when almost nobody else would. And, and I've had to deal with medical malpractice issues myself as a victim of malpractice. And I went before the father of the contingency fee representation, James Picardo, and I brought a case to him from the VA where I had original x-rays and photocopies of medical records that showed I had multiple skull, face, jaw, mouth fractures that were not treated. In fact, they were their existence was even denied to me.
I remember the legendary Jim Picardo.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Jim Picardo told me, look, he said, you have an outstanding case. He said, but it's not good business to take it. And John Edwards apparently is taking cases that may be outstanding, but there are so many restrictions on lawyers to help victims of medical malpractice. At least he has taken the cases he could and gotten something for the poor and the powerless out of the process.
Well, Steve, you know, I tell a few lawyer jokes, and we played that Robert Cray song for Marjorie Cohn, but I really respect trial lawyers. And certainly, you know, Bill LaRocque, he's a creep who went too far in shaking down companies over stock options and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know, that stuff goes on.
But, you know, I don't have any problem with the contingency system. I know that Republicans, you know, like to talk about tort reform, but what they really want is just courts that rule in their favor and judges who are predictably conservative. And so I don't really have a lot of negatives on John Edwards. I wish he were a little more easygoing and had a better sense of humor.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But he's very smart. He has identified critical issues about poverty, about Katrina, about the inequities, about who controls Washington, and he's not afraid to talk about that stuff.
And he's anti-corporate.
Yeah, and for a guy who is in the top tier, I give him a lot of credit. I've had some quibbles with him about Iraq and about Iran, but by and large, you know, he's on board in the right direction. And what we need is a Democrat in the White House and more Democrats in the Senate to really turn things around in a meaningful way. So I can accept Edwards, and I can accept Obama. I can't accept Hillary, and that's my basic calculation. Thank you, Steve.
Sure,
I want to jump Tom in Coos Bay, listening to the mighty KBBR. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Peter. I just want to say, on your build-up to switching from Kucinich, you mentioned the Internet poll.
No, I talked about the California poll.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there's been this Internet voting thing where...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you're correct. I talked about my friends who had taken this little checkoff poll.
Yeah, I took that, and it was all based on issues. And I ended up being for Kucinich as well.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, since you have Brad Freeman and these other people talking about the media influence,
mm-hmm.
should we really consider whether the polls that are saying that Obama and Hillary and Edwards are so popular, are they really polling the right people? They're not polling people like me.
Well, Tom, I understand that, and I don't consider the polls to be overly reliable or the main drivers. But when I don't believe that the polls are off by more than 5 or 10 points. And when the California poll shows that Hillary still has a 36-22 lead over Obama and a 36-13 lead over Edwards, I cannot sit back and say, oh, well, you know, they might be off by a little bit, and so I'm just going to vote my ideals. I'd love to vote my ideals. I'd love to support Kucinich and see him roll up a 5 or 10% total in California. But I'm looking at the big picture here. And Hillary, she doesn't scare me. She just offends me. And I cannot countenance any tactic that would essentially cede ground to Hillary Clinton. And that's why these are difficult choices, reptilian decisions, if you will, cold-blooded decisions that we have to make. But given the landscape, I really need to move forward and do the best I can to help defeat Hillary. Thanks for your comment, Tom. We'll take more calls after the break here. I got two lines open. Tell me who you're ready to vote for president at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates, especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149. At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
That guy grunts and gets $20 million a picture.
What?
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy.
We're taking your calls here in the free speech zone. Not getting jiggy, we're getting real about the February 5th primary here in California. And we're taking your calls about the presidential contenders. No wrong answers. And if you disagree with me and you support Hillary Clinton, I want you to call and state your case. Do not be shy, and don't give up your First Amendment rights. Sandra in Sacramento, you've been holding for a day and a half. Thank you.
Oh, no, you know, it's all right. Love to call the show. Listen, I have a problem with Obama. I think he talks out of both sides of his mouth. When he's talking to a black crowd, it's one thing. When he's talking to white people, he's trying to make them feel comfortable about running as a black person. It just seems like a bit of a disaster. And
Well, wait just a minute, because I do understand that, and I noticed when he went stumping in South Carolina a few weeks ago, he was talking like an old Southern hand.
Along with Oprah, all of a sudden she was sounding like Miss Sophia, and I'm like, what's up with this? They gave Hillary a hard time when she got all black, but these two turned it up, and it's a whole different story. So I understand, because I'm black, I know you have to be a bit of a chameleon in America, but they take it to, I mean, I don't trust Obama. I think that his paymasters are the corporations, just like Hillary.
Well, now, hold on just a minute. Is your distrust solely based on his, what you consider to be the two mouths, the two sounds that he makes?
Well, yeah, because if he's going to try to slide into his position as being the first president of color, you know, he can't sort of pretend that he's not what he is.
Now, wait.
Really,
okay, now Sandra, do you remember when Jesse Jackson ran for president?
Yeah, I was quite happy to see that. Yeah.
Do you remember one of the off-the-cuff comments that he made? I think it was to Al Sharpton, was, well, we're alone, we can talk black here.
Right, but with Jesse Jackson, for some reason, I don't get the same sort of deceptiveness that I get with Obama. I think
let me tell you something, Sandra. I've been following Jesse Jackson since 1973. I had a talk show in Chicago when I had hair and was a much younger guy, and I've known about him inside and out for a long time. He's a complicated figure, and he has been very effective as a public advocate, and I appreciated when he ran for president. I think he articulated some important issues. But he has a background as a corporate shakedown artist.
Not only that, but when he held up the bloody shirt in the picture,
yes,
when Martin Luther King was shot, was enough to set me right about him.
But amen, sister. That's opportunism that goes beyond what Obama has done.
Right, but Jesse Jackson never had a prayer of becoming president, whereas Obama does. And I think if he's going to, pretend something else, he should, just come clean about what's going on. I just don't really
Okay.
I totally trust him.
Now, Sandra, I hear you. What I want to know is, did you hear the conversation about a week ago? It was after the Oprah Goodwill tour, and Randy Rhoads on Air America was raising the same question. She said that Oprah was using her character voice from Miss Sophia and that Obama was talking black, and it really bothered her. And then she proceeded to take three calls that I heard from African Americans, and just she was rude to them. She talked over to them. She was obviously defensive, and she was very concerned that they were going to call her a racist for her remarks. And I was really offended by that exchange. I'm not offended by her view or her opinion of either the speech of Obama or the speech of Oprah, but I was offended by the way she treated those callers.
And my opinion is that I thought that she was kind of taking a few liberties, Randy. It's like, you know, that all sort of bugged me too. I didn't know what she was trying to make. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, Sandra, and I want you to check back with me in a month and tell me where you're at then, okay? All right, she went away. Now to Tom Unsicker, our Courage to Congress guy, who is on his way to Washington, D.C. via bicycle, and he made great progress today. Tell us about it, Tom.
Well, I got 90 miles out of the way, made it all the way into Santa Barbara.
90 miles in one day? Is that a new personal best?
Oh, no. First day I did 92, and once we're out of the hills and into the desert, it's going to be, I'll be logging 100-plus.
Wow. Well, you're quite a machine there. And you had much better weather today, right?
I actually had a tailwind and got some sunshine. It was wonderful.
Oh, nice.
No 30-knot headwinds. The 30-mile-an-hour headwinds really slow you down.
Yeah. All right. And what kind of human encounters have you had since we last talked to you?
A couple of really good ones. One of the things that I've noticed, Peter, is that the heart of America is still really big. I mean, I'm really good at getting myself in trouble. I get lost. I need help all the time. And it's incredible to me how many people just step right up and point the right road or the directions to a motel. I had another equipment problem right at a bike shop. They didn't have the part that I needed. And they called two blocks down, a shop had the parts, you know, and I went in and got the parts and was on the road again.
Yeah.
People in America are just, there's a big heart out there and they just need to start talking.
Right. Well, you know, even when you put politics aside, I think most Americans are good people who have a general, you know, interest in the better welfare of their fellow humans. Where we break down is when the media and our political leaders basically try to force us into very selfish, materialist and ego-driven decisions. And I think that, if you take away some of those external factors, most people are, pretty good-natured and pretty willing to help another person.
You're right. It's the wedge issues that are driving us apart. And I've got one encounter story that I'd like to take 20 seconds on if I could.
Go ahead right now.
I was headed up the steepest grade between Lompoc and Santa Barbara. And about halfway up, I saw a guy sitting on the side of the road. And as I came closer, he looked like he was hitchhiking. I said, "Luck getting a ride." And as I went by, in a very soft voice, he said, "Do you have any water?" And my first reaction, because here's a guy carrying everything he owns sitting on the side of the road, was to say, "Not now." And I said, "I can't stop." Because if I'd stopped, I couldn't get going again. Literally,
right.
When you're towing a trailer up a hill, if you stop, it's all over. So I hit myself on the back of the head and just said, "Boy, you had a programmed reaction there." I got to the top of the hill, undid the trailer, and went back down the hill on the bicycle alone, and I gave him one of my water bottles. I mean, because he was 20 miles in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he was drinking the water, and I started talking to him, and I asked him about how he felt about the government, because that's my mission right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, "They don't help me, man." And so I asked him who he was. His name is Larry Sparks, and he very proudly said, I make albums. And, so I just said, "Larry Sparks, I hope to hear some of your music in a little bit. I got to get on the road," and left him with the water and went on. I was really worried that he was going to get out. But the good news is, the happy end to the story is that I was going through Goleta.
Yeah.
And I heard this, hello, from across the street. And I looked across, and under a copse of trees, there was Larry Sparks. He'd caught a ride, and he beat me to Goleta.
Oh, that's great. Well, we'll have to look for him in iTunes next time he posts some new music.
That definitely, it may be a while, but I'm going to never forget that name.
Great. Well, Tom, today we're taking calls from people and asking if people are ready to make a hard choice now about president in the primary here in California on February 5th. If you want to pass, you can, but if you want to tell us your thoughts, feel free. What I said was that my top priority is stopping Hillary Clinton, and therefore, even though I fully support Dennis Kucinich on the issues, my perception is he doesn't have the traction necessary to challenge Hillary, and that my difficult choice is to move over to Obama or Edwards over the course of the next 6 weeks into the California primary.
Well, I heard the previous caller, and you came on suddenly. I was just going to say, Peter Bean, my choice in the primary is ABH, anybody but Hillary.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think that there's some other issues, too, and we've been talking about Beltway disconnect. And it's really incredibly apparent there. I don't want dynasty. I don't want children voting, young adults, voting in their first election, never having had anybody but a Bush and a Clinton on the ballot.
Right. And I do believe the presidential gene pool goes beyond the Bush and Clinton families.
Got it. 100%. And personally, I agree with Kucinich right down the line. I think of all of the congressmen who don't need balls, he would probably be one of them. Although he's been kicked so often in them, he may need another pair.
Well, bring those replacements and offer him an anesthesia, too. I want to thank you, Tom, and direct people to your website, CourageToCongress.com. Tom Unziker left to Santa Cruz last Saturday. He's now in Santa Barbara, and he is bicycling his way to Washington, D.C. His target is to arrive in mid-January and deliver those much-needed cojones to members of Congress. Thanks, Tom. Hope to talk to you tomorrow.
You're welcome, Peter B. I'll call in.
Okay, real good. Now to Mark in Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Welcome, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I think your analysis of the race so far is exactly right. And I've been a big supporter of Barack Obama for a long time now. But once Hillary got the endorsement at the Des Moines Register, I read their endorsement, and it made me think actually changed my mind to John Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And one comment they made about him was that they liked him and they supported him in 2004, but they were put off by his anti-corporate rhetoric. And then I have watched a lot of his speeches on YouTube when he talked about the difference between him and Obama. John Edwards being someone who is willing to stand up and fight and go to the floor for the people, and Obama being someone who is more willing to sit down and talk and negotiate. And I guess the thing that I have missed the most during this the last 7 years of this administration is somebody in Congress to stand up and fight for us.
Yeah.
And here is somebody who is saying that they are going to do that. And
I think you make a really important point. And it's not that I want to inject more partisanship into Washington, D.C., but the promise that we hear from people like Obama and even what Nancy Pelosi has tried to establish in a new sense of collegiality is that we cannot negotiate with these extremists. The Republicans are not just the old guard of the grand old party. These are uncompromising people who will take the Democrats to the cleaners and have on virtually every important issue that has come before us in this past year. And sure, they got the minimum wage increased, and I appreciate that. And sure, they changed the frame of the conversation in the energy bill. I'm not dismissing everything. But when you look at it, this effort to compromise, to be conciliatory with these Republicans, is a failed tactic. And we need to recognize that. And the best way to get them to come to the table and reach compromise is to take them on head on and let them know that you are going to be relentless and you won't get out of their faces until they give us what we demand. And that's what I think Edwards offers. It's a little thin in terms of his previous delivery. He was in the Senate and didn't do a whole lot. And as a vice presidential candidate, he didn't appear to deliver any states to the ticket. That said, of the people running, you know, he's the most articulate, most combative in that top tier.
Absolutely. I think he's the one. He's the one to lead the charge. And if he picks Obama as a running mate, we have a dream ticket.
I think you're right. Thank you very much, Mark. Hey, are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, why don't you hold on the line, because I'm going to ask Katrina to take down your address, and I'd like to mail you a bad president calendar. It counts down the days until Bush leaves office.
Thank you. It can't happen soon enough.
Mark, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening in Coos Bay.
You bet.
Hold on now. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA and give you the very latest. Talking about a problem right now, it's located in King City, Jolin Road at Crossroad. We had an injury crash. A pickup truck went off the roadway. And we do have fire department emergency crews on scene there as a result of this. Also want to take a look at a problem in Soquel. It looks like we're getting word of a crash northbound 1 at Porter Street. Now, this fender bender is on the right shoulder, and we have two vehicles involved in this particular problem at this point. Also want to take a look at another problem being reported. It is in Ben Lomond, northbound 9, just right at Glen Arbor. The northbound lane partially blocked. The reason, a disabled vehicle being reported there. Well, for softer, healthier feet, this winter get Gold Pond Foot Cream with 7 intensive moisturizers plus soothing vitamins that work as hard as your feet. Get Gold Pond Foot Cream today. That's traffic on KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic food, wash it down with organic wine. Better for you, better for the planet. Visit their website at ecowine.com or call Veronique right now at 888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Thunder calling through the faraway town. Now war is declared and battle come down. Thunder calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls.
And I've been meaning to tell you for several hours now, but I just get wrapped up in the show and what we're talking about. Dr. Elmo was planning to be here today, but the sleigh broke down, and he will be here tomorrow between 5 and 6 Pacific time. That's this very hour, our third hour of the program, and he promises to bring his guitar and perform the Grandma song live right here. And then that hour will be replayed on Christmas Eve in our third hour if you don't catch it tomorrow and you want to catch it then. Share it with the kids, too, will you? Back to your calls now. It's Ron and Davis up next. Hello, Ron. You're on the PBC show. Ron, did you survive? Hello, Ron? Oh, that's a cell phone that dropped. And for our listeners in the Davis area or the East Bay, next week the Peter B. Collins Show will be featured on Green 960 in San Francisco, afternoons from 3 to 6 p.m. We'll be presenting the best of Peter B. Collins. Alice in Sacramento, you're next. Alice, do we have you? Hello, Alice. So maybe
Peter B.
Yes, are you Marilyn?
Yes, Marilyn.
Okay, I'm looking at an old listing on the screen.
Fine. Alice is my middle name, so you're...
Well, and apparently somebody besides Ron was on line 5, and I apologize.
Oh, that's okay.
That was Phyllis. Phyllis, my apology.
Do you want Phyllis or Marilyn?
No, we're taking Marilyn, but okay. I just wanted to apologize to Phyllis.
Oh, I see.
She got hung
up.
Well,
Peter B., thank you so much for articulating what I was feeling but hadn't expressed, and I think it'd be so wonderful if that what you said today, is it available for us listeners? Is it on your website?
Oh, well, every bit of the Peter B. Collins Show is available for podcast. There's a person in San Francisco who edits it in the evening.
Okay, I'll get that from your...
Yeah, I don't know exactly when it's posted, but if you go to peterbcollins.com, there's a link on the homepage.
Okay, great. Well, I guess I just am concerned now, because, yes, Edwards is the one, and what about Obama? I mean, it's a shame, but I don't think he should be the nominee, the Democratic nominee, because... he won't get it. So how can...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What can we do to prevent that? I mean,
well,
I think he's excellent, but the racists in the South won't vote for him.
Well, I understand that issue, and I think we have to think it through.
Uh-huh.
And we have to evaluate that.
Okay.
I have conflicted feelings. Jen from Sacramento, an African-American woman, has talked to us on several occasions, and she's on the line. We'll hope to get to her next. But she has raised that point,
mm-hmm.
you know, that as a black woman, she knows that racism is still alive and well in this country.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I feel that we cannot be intimidated by lingering racism. And that we have to, you know, confront that. Do we do so at the expense of losing the White House? That's a very tough call, and I understand the conflict that you feel there.
Thank you.
All right, Marilyn, thanks for the call today. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
And let's see. Okay, we got Philip in Sacramento. He's the one I hung up on.
Hey, Peter B.
Philip, my apologies.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem.
Okay, what's on your mind?
I believe you're completely right about not letting Hillary get the nod.
Mm-hmm.
If she does, we'll be under, 32 years of a corporate-ruled executive administration?
Pretty close,
and,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kucinich is my guy. It might be tempting to vote for Edwards, possibly, if it really comes down to it. I started watching the Q&As. You know, I won't call them debates.
Yeah, good for you. Mm-hmm.
And every time he just, Kucinich just continues to impress me more and more every time I hear him speak.
Well, he's very effective. He's very clear on the issues, and I liked his joke about if you want somebody tall, you got to vote for somebody else. And it is very frustrating that he can't gain traction. The media locks him out. The funders of the Democratic Party don't support him. And, you know, at a certain point, we can't cling to our ideals at the expense of losing with Hillary at the top of the ticket. And I'm not dismissing the concerns about Obama's electability. It's a delicate issue to discuss because of the racist elements, but we do have to be honest that this country has not come as far along, baby, as we would have hoped, and that winning the South is, Obama could help galvanize the redneck vote in the South in a way that we might not find predictable. Philip, thanks for the call. Let's jump to Jen in Sacramento. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, I know you don't have a lot of time. First of all, did you get my email?
Yes, I did. I get all your emails. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Anyway, I was going to make the comment that Sandra had made and emphasize that about Obama's different voices. But again, you know, that's been said over and over again. We better stick with Edwards because he truly does have a roundabout way of getting it done and being the right color and the right sex. We cannot afford to lose the White House because of how we feel and how we hope that the world has come along. And so that's the only comment that I'm going to make.
Okay, Jen, thanks. Yeah, it's difficult because we have to put our ideals and aspirations not necessarily aside but into a context of the larger set of issues, and it's not easy at all. Let's go to line three now, and let me see who's here. It appears to be David in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Yeah, greetings, Peter.
Good to talk to you.
You know, I found a book left over from World War II. It was a book about the what it was like in Poland during World War II under the Nazis.
Yeah.
It's called, if I remember right, it's called The Story of a Secret State.
Okay.
And I was a Nader supporter, all the way back to 96. And I was actually encouraging him after both the 2000 and 2004 elections to put out a website about what, it's sort of like a daily diary of what he would do if he was president.
Mm-hmm.
And so who would he appoint to various judgeships? Who would he appoint to various, the EPA and to various positions? And when you think about it, a guy like Nader knows tens of thousands of honest people. And it doesn't matter if he gets elected or not. He would have the opportunity to still put forward these names.
David, you get the last word tonight. Thank you very much for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Dr. Elmo in our final hour tomorrow. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Congressman Tom Tancredo, who made illegal immigration the centerpiece of his campaign, is expected to drop out of the Republican presidential race tomorrow. Tancredo never made much of a showing in the polls. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambender says he may feel he's accomplished what he set out to do.
Tom Tancredo was the first person in this race. In fact, he got into the race specifically to push this issue, and he said when he got in the race, my goal is to get all the candidates talking about border security and being serious about border security and serious about stemming the tide of illegal immigration.
The South Carolina primary is a month away after Iowa and New Hampshire. A CBS News poll in that state finds Democrats Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama neck and neck, while Mike Huckabee has a strong lead among Republicans. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker has more.
Native son John Edwards won here 4 years ago. Now, despite generating real passion,
I'm strongly supporting Edwards.
He's trailing at 13%. At Kitty's Diner in Charleston, where food and political talk are plentiful, the guys in the corner know one reason why Mike Huckabee has jumped to the front of the Republican pack.
His willingness to stick to his beliefs.
But the biggest reason? His support among white evangelical Christians. They make up half of GOP primary voters, and 33% back Huckabee.
Mitt Romney trails Huckabee in South Carolina, and Rudy Giuliani is a distant third. For a Northern California man and his three kids lost in the mountains when they went to find a Christmas tree, help arrived today. A Highway Patrol helicopter spotted them from the air and landed nearby. Paramedic Dave White was the first to reach them.
They were jumping up and down. The little girl started crying, came up and gave me a big hug once I got out, and just an awesome time.
They were quickly airlifted to a hospital.
Everybody seemed to be in pretty good spirits, just a little cold.
They've been missing in deep snow since Sunday. Officials were about to call off the aerial search because it was snowing so hard. The government has stepped in with a plan to help reduce flight delays. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant reports.
Beginning next March, flights in and out of New York's JFK Airport will be limited to 82 to 83 an hour during peak times. The airline